new episode of Currently Binging, the podcast where I talk all things TV and movies. If you are listening for the first time, welcome. You can find us pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts. We are on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, SoundCloud. So make sure you rate, subscribe, follow, comment, all that good stuff, because then you'll be the first to know when there's a new episode. And as always, that's all helpful. So let's get into this episode. I am super excited because I'm talking about my other love outside of movies. I am talking about TV today, guys. And I am doing something that I don't think I've ever really done officially before. And I am talking summer finales. So I thought I would limit this to 3 episodes because surprisingly, which is why I thought that this would be a valid episode, I still watch a lot of TV during the summer. And I don't know if I talked about this before. I probably have on some episode because I feel like I consistently repeat myself. But it used to be a time where summer TV was pretty much where you put shows that you knew probably weren't going to do as well, expecting it to have a low viewer turnout. But now today, there are some really good shows that come on during the summer, and they're always on my list, and I'm always anticipating them. And even still, looking at what I'm talking about today, 2 of these shows were previously fall shows that moved to the summer. So there's that, which you would think would be like a death wish, but one of these shows I'm going to talk about had a pretty solid season, and I cannot wait to get into it. But we're just going to jump right into this because, like I said, I'm talking about 3 shows, and I'm going to be talking about more than just the finale like I always do. So I want to make sure that I leave sufficient enough time to talk about everything I want to talk about. I do have some notes, but I'm also going to be doing a little bit of freestyle. So let's kick this off. We're going to start with Nashville. So we're in season 6. So previously, Nashville moved from ABC to CMT, which unfortunately, CMT, you need to have a cable subscription and you need to have, and it's only included in like one of the higher tiers. So I used to have CMT, and then right before Nashville moved to CMT, I got rid of CMT. So I have been watching Nashville on Hulu. And can't really complain because, you know, it's like next day and it's there. But then also this last season, they started having it on, I want to say that was Nick at Night, one of those Nick late at night channels. I could be wrong. Nick at Night, TV Land, one of those. They started airing it pretty much a couple of hours after the episode premiered on CMT. So I set my DVR to record it on there, which also worked out. So so this was the final season. This is a show where they were going to cancel it. ABC canceled it. And then due to fan outrage, CMT picked it up. And almost immediately we lost Raina. And I've talked about that. You can go back and you can find that episode. I'm not sure which episode it is, but I have talked about what happened with Raina. So you can go back and look at that. But almost immediately we lost Raina, and it was kind of like, okay, where can we go with the show? What else can you give us? And I think that that is where Nashville has struggled a little bit these 2 seasons post Raina. Has it been 2 seasons or has it been 2 half seasons? That's why I'm like always like, oh my gosh, because they split this last season in half. I think it was 2 seasons. Don't quote me. I need to look that up. But so they got new writers, the whole shebang. But I still feel like even though we got new writers, which you could clearly tell we got new writers because the storylines were a little bit better, because on ABC, after the first season, we started to go down daytime TV route or the soap opera route, which is where there are a few shows who do this, who come on at night, haves and have nots, just to name one of them, where it feels very, very soapy. And I mean, that's fine for what it is. And for the haves and the have nots, that works just based on the format of that show. But for Nashville, it's starting to get to be just a little bit too much. and way too soapy and too, it just felt overweighted. So when we moved to CMT, it kind of felt like they stripped it down a little bit. We went back to what the fans loved about Nashville. But it also, for it to be on CMT, it felt like we lost a lot of the music. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about Nashville than I will the other two, just because this was the last season. And you guys know I was like the biggest Nashville fan. But I might put in time markers if you want to jump around to whichever show that I'm talking about, which I'll probably start doing moving forward when I lump all of these finales into one. But for Nashville, so yeah. So it kind of felt like we lost kind of what Nashville was about, which is the music. And I will say a lot of the earlier songs, even on some of those seasons where I was like, okay, Nashville, maybe it's time to wrap it up. The music was still so good. And it was such a driving force of what the show was about. And I felt like with that, we lost it a little bit with it moving to CMT, which is surprising because CMT is the country music television network. Also, something that a lot of us were afraid of was that, yeah, Nashville is pretty much based in the country music industry, but we all were a little bit hesitant. I know I was, that we were going to go full on country, and that is not what Nashville is. Yeah, it's country, but it's kind of like, I don't know how to explain it. It's country, but it's like a country that appeals to even people who don't listen to country, which is me. So, and they didn't do that, which I appreciated. But all in all, we had our series finale. Everyone got their version of a happy ending, if you will. And I'm going to talk about that in a second. But overall, how it wrapped up, it was very much wrapped up for the fans, especially the last scene we get where we get all the cast on stage. I believe they were at the Opry. Or I could be wrong again, but it's been a couple of weeks since I watched this. But we got all the cast, even Raina showed up post-mortem. I'm just kidding. Oh my gosh, I have jokes today. But Connie Britton showed up. They, reading articles, they really wanted to make it work because they felt like it would be a disservice to not have her there for the fans because it would just feel incomplete. And not going to lie, I did get a little bit teary-eyed just seeing everyone up there because, I mean, this is it, guys. This is all we get. There won't be any more new music from the Nashville cast. I mean, it'll be music from them individually as their true selves. But as far as from the show, there won't be any more new music. There won't be any more tours. I did get to see them in concert a few years ago, like 4 years ago, I want to say, around my first year when I moved to the Bay Area. I got to see them in concert, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Like, we're not going to get any more concerts. This is it. And it was very sweet, and I was so emotional because it has been a very interesting ride, and I feel like Nashville was one of those shows that kind of kicked off shows being revived and picked up on other channels as far as cable networks or streaming services. They kind of kicked that whole thing off, and now you will consistently see shows being revived after being canceled by network television, which I'm all for because if you have content and it's good content, I want to see it. But I say all that to say, now let's get into the nitty gritty. Gunnar and Scarlett, you guys know if you've been listening for a while and you've listened to me talk about Nashville that I have always loved Gunnar and Scarlett together. Their music has been some of my favorite songs produced from the show. And I feel like they obliterated Gunnar and Scarlett, especially after we moved to CMT. I was like, okay, they're not going to end up together at all. And when this is all said and done, they're not going to be a thing. And honestly, that is what happened. Scarlett ends up getting engaged to someone else who in real life is her actual husband. Gunnar ends up doing his music thing and he's not chasing after women as we've seen him, especially these last couple of seasons, which brings me to Alana. She was not my favorite character at all. I did not like her from the beginning at all. And it wasn't even that I wanted, because after the last time that Gunnar and Scarlett broke up, I was like, okay, that's it. They're most likely done and they're not going to put them together again for the remainder of the show. So that was no surprise to me. I just did not like her character, especially in relation to Avery, because I felt like she came in with so much baggage and she projected her feelings onto other people. And she just really irritated me, especially when Avery was doing this whole thing with Juliet, which I'm going to get into Juliet in a minute because you guys know I have some stuff to say about her. But when he was getting to his feelings about Juliet and he was kind of voicing them and she was kind of projecting her past relationships and the things that she was going through onto him, and then just showing up at his house like, one, he has a kid. Sorry, but if I have a kid and I'm a single parent or not completely a single parent or whatever situation you want to put him in, if I'm raising a child and we are not in a relationship to the point where I have introduced you to my child and I'm at home, my child, you're not just going to pop up over my house and think it's all good and come in and chit chat and play music and eat food and fall asleep on the couch. No, I felt like that was so disrespectful. I did not appreciate that. And that furthermore made me not like her character, to the point that when we finally get to the end and we have her whole, because there was a whole Me Too storyline. Of course, I feel like everything this season or this previous couple of seasons have been geared towards like this whole Me Too movement. So there's a lot of content on that. But even when we get to that, and this is going to sound bad, but I just did not care because I just did not like her character at all. So that's all I have to say about Alana. I did not like her. I don't think she was needed. She was pretty much used as a tool to drive a storyline that was relevant to something that was going on in real life today, all over in pretty much every industry. But yeah, so for that, whatever. I feel like they could have did it a different way and made it more realistic, her whole relationship. Because in the end, Avery still ends up with Juliet. So let's talk about Juliet, because Juliet, I feel like, especially after moving to CMT, we ended on ABC with her in an airplane crash. We didn't know she was going to live because we didn't know what was going on with the show and who was actually coming back. But Hayden Panettiere ends up coming back to the show. So, of course, she's like Nashville was always, to me, the Raina James and Juliet Barnes show. Like, their whole relationship to me is what really drove the show. So if we're going to lose Raina, we cannot also lose Juliet, because then it's like, well, why are we even doing this? So of course Juliet comes back, and I feel like they have her. She goes through this whole thing in season 5 where she's dealing with the aftermath of being in this airplane crash, and she's like kind of finding God, but then it's like, oh, did she really find God? And she's kind of struggling with if she wants to be in this industry. And then it's just all this stuff. And then we come to this season where it's like, she ends up in a cult. And then it's still like this whole thing with her and Avery, where it's like, are they together? Aren't they together? Are they together? Aren't they together? And this whole pull back and forth thing that just drove me crazy, to the point where I was literally watching I don't even know which episode it was, but I literally said out loud to the TV, I was like, can Juliet just have one season of not going through all of this? She has gone through something every single season. And for a character in the beginning who everyone loved to hate, and then we eventually grew to love, she went through so much, to the point where I was just stressed out. I was like, okay, just give the girl a break. Like, seriously, seriously, every season. So for her to come back from the cult and be like this whole changed person, and then to essentially get her happy ending but still have to go through all of that, it was a lot. And they said that they made sure that Avery and Juliet ended up together because they knew that that was what the fans wanted, which of course it was. But I feel like the whole Alana thing kind of took away from that in a sense. But whatever. So that's my whole spiel on Juliet and Avery. Let's talk about Maddie, Daphne, and Deacon. So we had also another one who got a love interest, where it was kind of like Deacon and Raina were like our powerhouse couple, and then we lose Raina, and then everyone's like, okay, Raina's dead, do not replace Raina. So then we get this whole thing where it kind of feels like they're drawing out the inevitable, where we know that Jesse is there to be Deacon's love interest, and then finally they get together, and then we have this whole thing where a lot of what is happening with them is being torn apart by her ex-husband. And I have to say, Brad was also a character that irritated me because he's cliche. And when we finally get to the end where he is this powerful exec who has been taking advantage of all these women, it's just like, whatever. I was just so done with it. And the whole custody thing was just getting on my nerves. I don't know. It was a few storylines, clearly, that were like, got me to the point where I was just like, I'm just watching to see how this all ends, pretty much, if I'm being honest, because that's why I do this, is to be honest. So like that whole thing with Jesse, and then in the end, Deacon and Jesse don't even end up together, which is like, whatever. So Deacon's happy ending is that he actually gets to go on tour, headline a tour, and then he has his two girls with him. So, I mean, that was cute. I have always loved the relationship between Deacon and the girls, especially, yeah, Maddie is his biological daughter, but he also loves Daphne just as much as if she was his biological daughter, and I've always appreciated their relationship. And that was also one of the things that also kept me watching even after Raina's passing. But speaking of the girls, then we had, which also ties in Brad, because Daphne was in this competition, which in the end she didn't win. And all to say, which her happy ending was her signing with Highway 69. So it's just like, whatever. But I will say that Daphne did calm down, because you guys know, Daphne and Maddie have had moments where it was so much complaining and they were so teenagery. That's not a word, but I just made that up. They were so teenagery to the point of frustration where I just wanted to yank them up and be like, seriously. But thankfully this season, they didn't really have a lot of that. Even Maddie was kind of running off on her own, kind of trying to find her way, dealing with these two guys, which she also did not end up with any of them. And she kind of was like, no, I'm independent, I need to be my own woman, which is like, okay. But yeah, is that everyone? Oh, Will and Zach, that's also like a relationship that in the end they end up together, but it was like, okay, whatever. So I feel like I sound way more I feel like I sound way more critical about this season of Nashville than how I really felt. Because at the end of the day, I appreciated how they wrapped everything up. Everyone got their happy ending in their own way. And then we also got that finale performance with the entire cast. That was like, all they had to do was show me that. And I would be like, okay, thank you. That's all I needed. And I'm done. So I appreciate that we even got the chance to wrap up the series and for the series to have an actual ending. I don't think that there's any more further that they could have taken this. I don't think that we need any spinoffs, to be honest. There weren't really any characters, main characters from Nashville, who I think that I need to see more from. I feel like this was just a great ending and we should leave it at that. And that is Nashville. Did you guys like that how quick I did that? So yeah, moving right along. Let's talk about The 100. So you guys know, since The 100 premiered on CW, I have been like their number one fan. Y'all know, when I watch stuff, I like me some action. I like me some good action. And I have talked about this on previous episodes where The 100, at first you're like, okay, this is just another CW show. And all of a sudden it takes a turn and I'm like, there's killing, like everybody's dying, like brutally dying almost every episode. So much action, and just really the cast is so great at acting, like everyone just owns their role. And so I have been a writer for this show since the beginning, but let's not get ahead of ourselves, because there have been moments where I have been like, okay, is this the last season? Are we still gonna, are they gonna be able to go any further with this? Is this, I don't think they can go any further with it. And I say that because the first season of most things, especially if it gets like a big following, I feel like The 100 has a cult following in a way, but especially if it gets a big following or like a cult-ish following, the first season is always good. And then you kind of have to every season after that live up to that first season. And the second season, which was Mount Weather, it was okay. It wasn't bad, but I still appreciate it. I really like season two. Season three is when I started to be like, okay, I don't know where we're going. And mind you, I didn't read the book, so I have no idea what even happens in the books. If any of these seasons line up with anything that happens in the books, I have no clue. But just purely from a television standpoint, I was like, okay, I don't know where we're going with this. And I don't know why, because I can watch sci-fi. I love sci-fi. I talk about a lot of sci-fi on here. But for some reason, when we start getting to artificial intelligence, AI, all that stuff, I get really, really picky, because for some reason, it's really easy for me to be like, I don't like this, or I'm not with the storyline. And the Allie's storyline for season three, there were some good episodes. Do not get me wrong. I still enjoyed that season, but if I had to line up all the seasons side by side, season three is probably my least favorite of all the seasons, because I was just like, and then Jaha, like, it was so much going on in season three that I was just like, okay, where are we going? What are we doing? But it was all the buildup for season four, which brought me back around, because it was like, okay, the world's ending. I feel like they just need to be in the mode where the world is ending for it to be a good season. Because they're like, the world is ending. We need to figure out what we're going to do. And that's pretty much what season four was. And it was still brutal. And it was a lot of action. It was a lot of character development, if you will. Even though I will say that me and Clark, we have a long history of me liking her, then not liking her, or not even liking her, frustrating me. We have a long relationship of frustration. And I'm going to talk about that, especially for season five. But season four, it brought me back around. In season five, first episode, I was like, okay, it was the mainly the Clark and the group that went up to space. That was mainly them. But then that second episode came with what's her name, Octavia. And when we got to the end of episode two and that bloodbath, when Octavia literally took down all those people, I was like, okay, I don't know where we're going, but I'm all the way in. I am strapped in, ready to go. Let's go. I was so ready for wherever we were going. And that kind of brings me into Clark, because this is one of those few shows, and this is one of the things that I really appreciate about The 100, is that for the most part, the women on the show are badass. From the top all the way down to their feet, they are badass. And I believe in Octavia, she really came to her own in the show, especially after the first season. I've said this multiple times, but when she first started, from where Octavia started to where she is today, oh my gosh. But then we get to Clark, and Clark is like, she's our leading lady of the show. And I feel like this started to happen in season four, after the whole Allie storyline, when she like went into hiding and she came back and she was like, looked crazy. She had dreads, all this stuff. And then she's just started to kind of, that's where my frustrations with her kind of built up, where it's like, okay, where's the Clark that we all love and fell in love with? And then towards the end of season four, she kind of got back there, and she ended up sacrificing herself for her friends, which is a very Clark thing to do. And then we get into season five, and yeah, we have Maddie, and yeah, I get like a mother's love or whatever, even though, you know, Maddie's not her biological daughter, but she still is in a sense her daughter, and I get that. But a lot of the decisions she made this season were so frustrating, and I was just like, oh my gosh, Clark, get it together, get it together. just throwing her friends under the bus. And I get it, it's been a long amount of time, but you guys have been through so much. And Maddie, she grew up around you. I'm pretty sure she can own whatever comes her way. It was just a lot of her decision-making that really frustrated me this season. And then finally, towards the end, again, she kind of got herself together. But I do have some notes on this because the finale, I appreciate it. The finale, it was a two-part finale. But it got really emotional because McCreary, so we're introduced to a new group of people, a new threat, which is this group of people who were, I have to go back and look into what the whole story was, but essentially they were sent up into space. They were put into cryosleep. They woke up, they found Earth, they came down. A lot of them are diseased and dying. And so a lot of their motivation is them trying to find a cure, which is where Abby comes in. And I'm not even going to talk about Abby because Abby is also someone who's frustrating. Abby's one of those ones kind of like Jaha, where it's like, why is she still here? Why is she still alive? They finally killed off Jaha, which I didn't even mention, but yeah, Jaha's gone. Finally, Abby is like the next adult in line who needs to die because too much. But yeah. So all that to say, so McCreary ends up sending a missile out, which ends up destroying the only living land on Earth. So because of this, they all have to get back into the spaceship and go back up to space because, you know, it's not the 100 out, someone going back to space. And the whole plan is to go up there and then figure out when they get up there. So when they get up there, they're like, okay, we don't know how long this is going to take, but it's going to take by the time we can go back down to Earth because that was literally the only place we could have lived on. And it's pretty much destroyed. So we're going to go into cryosleep. So originally there are 500 pods. There are 412 people. So they're like, we're all going to go into cryosleep. One, done. And we're there. And they were only supposed to sleep for, I didn't write the number down, but it was supposed to be a short amount of time. I want to say like 5-10 years, something like that. Come to find out, 125 years have passed. And only Clark and Bellamy wake up, and they're awakened by Monty and Harper's son, Jordan, who is pretty much their age now, minus 125 years. And we get this video from Monty and Harper, and oh my gosh, when I say it was so emotional, I was not expecting them to go there, but that video, it just got, as it went on, it got even more sadder. I know that's not right, but we're just going to go with it. It got so much more sad. And I was just like, oh my gosh, where are we going with this? Like, to the point where I was like, okay, Monty, just die so we can be done with this because this is just too much. But pretty much the Earth was pretty much dead. It was not coming back. And so Monty was pretty much trying to locate where Allegis 3 went, the place with two moons. And that was kind of what he had been working on and not expecting it to take as long as it did. So because of how long it was taking, him and Harper decided to put their son, Jordan, into cryosleep so that he would be able to relay the message and wake them up and let them know everything that had been happening while he still worked on it. So we pretty much watched Harper and Monty die on film. And I was just like, oh my gosh. This is so sad, but kudos to both of them because I really like them as characters, and I feel like Monty was really very much so a he was like the conscious of the group, and I feel like the group that we have, we need someone to play the conscious, so he will be missed. So yeah, so no more Harper and no more Monty, but they will live on through their son, Jordan. But Monty did finally locate where they were and he put them on a course to there. And that's how we end the episode, is with Jordan, Clark, and Bellamy looking out as they approach this new planet. And it ends by saying, what does it say? In book one. So pretty much this is the end of, not the end of the show, but pretty much the end of kind of everything that we've essentially gone through with this crew. And now when they get to this new planet, the possibilities are endless. And I think that that's one of the fun things about sci-fi and why I do like to watch a lot of sci-fi type stuff, because you can pretty much do whatever and there are no consequences in a way. I mean, there are consequences because when we start talking about time travel and all that stuff, which we're not going to get into, but you could just have fun and you can pretty much do whatever. And so I'm really looking forward to season 6. We did get renewed, which I was so excited about because I was scared for a minute. I was like, okay, this might be the final season, which they did in a way where it could have been the final season, but I would have been mad if we ended how we ended and there was no more seasons, because I want to know what happens when they get to this planet. But yeah, so they can pretty much go wherever in the next season. I'm super excited to see how season 6 turns out. But moving into my final show, Cloak and Dagger. Now, y'all know, y'all should have known I was talking about this because it is a Marvel show. Again, this is where I give my warning. I have no clue, very, very, very little knowledge of what happens in the comics, especially for Cloak and Dagger, because I had never even heard of Cloak and Dagger before I started seeing the previews and commercials for this show. So keep that in mind. Take that into context as I discuss my thoughts on this show. So coming from a non-comic book background and going into this show, I appreciated this show. I feel like I say I appreciate it a lot. But I really enjoyed this show, surprisingly. And y'all know I have issues with sticking with teen-driven shows, just because once we start getting like into the angsty teen drama and all that, I'm like, okay, I'm done. I'm out. That's all I need. But there was still a little bit of teen angst in this, not gonna lie, but it was bearable and I really appreciate it. There I go again. Appreciate it. I really enjoyed the show. I thought the two leads had really great chemistry together. Olivia Holt, Aubrey Joseph, who play Tandy and Tyrone, are Cloak and Dagger, or I should say reverse that since I said Tandy first. So Tandy was our dagger. Tyrone was our cloak. It was like individually they had a strong story arc, and then together they had a really good story arc. So let's talk about these episodes, because every episode started off slow. Just gonna put that out there. It was not like a fast driven thing until we got to the last episode. Every episode started off slow. In any other show, I probably would have bailed out after the first couple of episodes. But the thing that really worked with this show, and that I really appreciated, and I have to say appreciated because I really did appreciate this, was that by the time we got to the end of it, it started to ramp up to the point that by the time the episode finished, I was like, okay, I'm ready for the next one. What is next? And then you see the preview, you're like, oh my gosh, I can't wait for the next one. It just really did that for me, and it made watching this show fun. And also, we didn't really get a lot of Tandy and Tyrone together in the first half of the season. I mean, we did get some scenes, but it wasn't a lot. A lot of it was them in their individual storylines before like their main storylines connected. But when they were together, and you guys know, because I say this a lot about shows that have like a group of people who are supposed to be together, but we started off the show with them apart. But then when they finally get together, it's like, yes, this is why I'm watching. This is what I want to see. And if that's the one thing that I can ask for season 2 is more scenes of Tandy and Tyrone together in the same space, because I just love them together, even though they can't really touch, which now they can touch after what happened in the finale. So the finale, like I said, the finale was pretty much from the get-go. It was like, go, go, go. It was pretty up-tempo. It kept me throughout the entire thing. I didn't feel like it really had a slow start. So they're pretty much have this whole thing going on with trying to figure out or there's this thing that is coming that's going to destroy the city, and they are the key to pretty much protecting everyone. And so, and then what's her name's aunt kept saying, being like, well, one of them have to die, one of them has to die. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, we can't kill them. Like, we're not going to do that, are we? We're not going to kill one of them. But then I was like, no, we are not going to kill one of them, because Cloak and Dagger, like, we need both of them. So of course they both didn't die, but whatever they did to stop the, I wanted to call them cranks, but they're not called cranks. But pretty much the craziness and anger that had overtaken the city was they had to come together and touch in order to, because the pretty much the energy that was flowing through them was the same energy that was flowing up from this, where they were underground under, it's Roxxon. I mean, pretty close. But yeah, so the same energy that's coming from there is the same energy that's flowing through them. So it's pretty much like, we have to come together to overtake this. And then it ends up blasting them into, and they end up waking up in another, blasting them into. They end up waking up in another city on a roof. And so they're not dead. And it looks like they can touch each other now. And now, because of the aftermath of what happened with Tyrone and that whole cop situation, where he's pretty much now, they're looking, what is it? There's a warrant out for his arrest. So pretty much him and Tandy have switched positions or switched spots. Whereas when we started off the season, she was the one who's living on the streets, if you will. She's living inside this abandoned church, and Tyrone, who's pretty much had like a pretty good upbringing, if you look at it, outside of the fact that his brother was murdered. But as far as upbringing and like a family, like, he has both parents, all of that. He had a decent upbringing. He had a home to go to. And now it's reversed at the end, where Tandy ends up moving back in with her mom, because their relationship has gotten better throughout the season. And now Tyrone is living in the abandoned church because of the aftermath of everything that happened between him and the detective. And so, yeah, again, like I said, I really enjoyed this show. I am also interested to see what they do with the next season, because like I said, I have no idea, or I have very little information about what actually happens in the comics. I did look it up in the beginning when I first started watching the show, because I was like, okay, what is going on? Why are they not together? I don't understand. And I mean, why are they not together, as in a lot of their story was being driven apart? Like, a lot of the story throughout the first few episodes, they were driving it in their separate storylines. So it's like, okay, what is the deal with these characters? So I did do a little bit of research there. But I'm also looking forward to the next season, because apparently, for all of the people who are familiar with the comics, they saw this coming, but little me, I did not. So Detective Bridget O'Reilly is actually Mayhem in the comics, and it looks like she's going to be Mayhem in season 2. She was kind of an ally. Well, not kind of. She was an ally for Tyrone, and then eventually, she was an ally for both of them, for Tandy and for Tyrone, in different ways, and then coming together at the end. And then she ends up getting shot by Detective Connors, and then falling into the water that is full of this energy coming from Roxxon. So in the end, we see her, she pretty much looks like she's a zombie, because that's the only parallel I can make of it. This is for the people who aren't familiar with the comics, okay? So there's your comparison. But she comes out of the water. She looks like she's completely out of her mind. And yeah, the teaser trailer for the announcement that we are getting a season 2 of Marvel's Cloak and Dagger is that Mayhem is coming, which is Detective Bridget O'Reilly. So I am excited to see how this all plays out, because now, I mean, the whole Roxxon storyline in itself, and just the powers that Tyrone and Tandy have are kind of, I want to say in the, it plays in like the mystical realm, especially because we're in New Orleans and all that. So it's kind of like all that is there, this mistiness. That's not the right word, but it's all there. And so to have this added element of mayhem, I'm excited. And our first, like, I don't want to say mystical, but our first superpowered, but ish, will she be, and that's also the next question, because how they have it in the teaser trailer, it makes it seem like she's going to be the villain. But then when I was looking and reading up about the comics, it seems like she wasn't really a villain. She was pretty much taking revenge out on people who kind of, who had wronged her. So does that really make you a villain? Because then we started talking like the Punisher. Is he a villain or is he a hero? That kind of a thing. So who knows? But I'm excited about it. Also, I do have to say that I appreciated the little nods and tie-ins that we got to some of our other Marvel properties, which I honestly did not catch at first because I watched so much stuff and I'm always watching TV that sometimes I'm multitasking when I'm watching TV. So actually, I think the tie-in for Luke Cage, I saw that there was going to be a tie-in to Luke Cage before I actually saw the episode. So that one I was paying attention for. But yeah, I appreciated that. And y'all know me, I want to see everything crossover. So I'm okay with this crossing over with Runaways. I'm okay with this crossing over with all of our Netflix Marvel shows. Like, let's mix them all up. Let's cross them all over, because I know that they're not all going to be in next year's Avengers 4. I mean, none of them will be in it. So if we can't cross over with the movies, then let's just cross all the TV shows over, because I'm all here for it. But yeah, that is all I have for Cloak and Dagger. I feel like I got through that in pretty good timing, guys. So yeah, let me know what you guys thought about the season of these three shows, the series finale of Nashville, season 5 of The 100, and the first season of Marvel's Cloak and Dagger. I want to know. Let me know. As always, you can guys find me on all social media at In Her Glam, InHerGlam. So you can let me know that way. I also do have a little bit of announcements. So, I mean, they're not like, oh my gosh, jump for joy announcements, but I do want to let you guys know what is coming up. So I will be doing a fall preview episode, which I am super excited about, because I don't think I've done a fall preview, like a full episode just talking about fall TV shows. I have talked about upcoming fall shows, but I don't think, don't quote me. Now I need to go look it up. But I'm super excited because after seeing some of the trailers for the upcoming fall season, I cannot wait. So I will be doing that. And also continue to look for movie reviews. I feel like it's a slow season. The next one that I'm going to be doing will probably be Crazy Rich Asians, which was not originally on my list to see. But let me tell y'all, word of mouth, which is why I always talk about cinema scores, which I'm pretty sure, I haven't looked it up, but I'm pretty sure they have a cinema score of A or like A+, because this is getting heavy word of mouth and like really good positive word of mouth. So because of that, I will be going to see it. So I will most likely be doing an episode for that. And also look forward to another Netflix roundup, because I will be talking about two Netflix movies, which one of them I'm really excited to talk about. You guys are probably like, oh my gosh, she's actually talking about this, because I feel like this is the year of me talking about rom-coms. Why? I don't know. But I have talked about more rom-coms this year than I have ever since I've been doing podcasts. And I don't know what's going on. So I will be talking about Extinction, and also To All the Boys I've Loved Before. So yeah, look forward to that. But that is all I have, and I will talk to you guys in the next one.